Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. As you are able, would you stand again with me as we sing together The Lion and the Lamb. Isn't there?
Yes.
Amen. We are blessed. God is good. And as we came into church this morning, we had an opportunity to give. As we leave this morning, we have that same opportunity if you so choose. But as we worship here this morning, we take time while we're here in the pews to give thanks to God because He has blessed, because He has taken care of, because He has provided for us every single day. So we're going to do that right now, and Loretta's going to play for us, and let's just sit and give thanks to God. God, if we were to bring 1,000 tons of gold into this sanctuary this morning, it wouldn't be enough to say thank you. But God, out of what we have, we give back to you and thank you for life and sustenance, for everything. And we pray that these gifts would be used only for your glorious purposes, nothing else. And we pray it in the name of Jesus. And by the shed blood of Jesus Christ, amen.
The second reading today was taken from the book of Acts. It's in chapter 26. Verses 22 through 32, it's found on page 1180 in your pew Bible or on the screen. Pastor Dave gave a series of sermons on the book of Acts, and those of us who were blessed enough to hear them are kind of familiar with the story that's coming out here. And as I read through it and read through some commentaries and prayed over it, I came up with this little thought I'd like to share. In this situation, Paul is walking a tightrope of sorts because he proclaimed Jesus' resurrection, and that kind of threatened the Jews because those are prophecies that were in the Old Testament. He's bringing the good news to the Jews and the Gentiles, and he risks losing followers because it's coming to both. And he could also, with this testimony that's going on, lose his own life. Festus actually calls him crazy, in a way. And how many times, I don't know if any of you have, but I have been called crazy for believing in Jesus Christ. And sometimes I just back down. Paul didn't back down. But I have had God's help to this very day, and so I stand here and testify to small and great alike. I am saying nothing beyond the prophets and Moses said what happened, that the Christ would suffer and, as the first to rise from the dead, would proclaim light to his own people and to the Gentiles. At this point, Festus interrupted Paul's defense. "You are out of your mind, Paul," he shouted. "Your great learning is driving you insane." "I am not insane, most excellent Festus," Paul replied. "What I am saying is true and reasonable. The king is familiar with these things, and I can speak freely to him. I am convinced that none of this has escaped his notice, because it was not done in a corner. King Agrippa, do you believe the prophets? I know you do." Then Agrippa said to Paul, "Do you think that in such a short time you can persuade me to be a Christian?" Paul replied, "Short time or long, I pray that God, not only you, but all who are listening to me today, may become what I am, except for these chains." The king arose, and with him the governor and Bernice and those sitting with them. They left the room, and while talking with one another, they said, "This man is not doing anything that deserves death or imprisonment." Agrippa said to Festus, "This man could have been set free had he not appealed to Caesar." Mm. Here ends the reading. May it bring light and love to your life.
Thank you, Julie. Well, indeed, we're almost through the book of Acts. It's been almost a year and a half, I think, or will be before we're done. But I think by the time we're done, you'll have a good idea about the early church and what happened in the book of Acts. This is a favorite text of mine in Acts because of one word. Favorite not in the sense of what this one word means, but just in the sense that it was close, but no cigar. Almost. That's the word I want to look at this morning, almost. Think about it. I almost won. I almost graduated. I almost paid my bills. I almost bought the insurance I needed. You know, almost in many cases just doesn't cut it, does it? Almost isn't quite there. But almost. Almost is what's going on in this text this morning, too. Almost means I didn't complete what I started, right? Almost, but not quite. It means I was close, because almost means you're close, right? But not quite. It means not much would have pushed me over to the edge to the other side, like almost winning, but not quite. Almost can be a good thing or a bad thing, depending on what the final outcome would bring. In other words, I almost died. Well, almost in that case is probably good that you didn't, right? But in many cases, almost is I just didn't quite get to where someone wanted me to be, or maybe where I may have wanted to be. Paul is sharing with someone in the story today, and this someone was almost, but not quite. Paul had a story that could change lives. This is not the first time in the book of Acts that previous to the text that was read this morning, we learn again about his journey to Damascus. on the Damascus Road. And it's repeated more than once. And here, just before the text, it's repeated again so that Agrippa and Festus can kind of get the story behind what has driven Paul to do what Paul is driven to do. And that is to share his story and to share about this one who changed his life. He knew that this story was true because it changed his life. He's a different man now than he was a while back. Now he wants to live for the king instead of kill all of his servants. The story was true. And the story was true. Paul, even before he came to Christ, was well versed in the Old Testament. He was a student of the Old Testament. And so he knew a lot of what it said, and it came to light after he came to Christ, looking at all the texts in the Old Testament referred to a Messiah that was to come. And Jesus was the fulfillment of that. He says the story that he's sharing with Festus and Agrippa is backed by the prophets of the old and confirmed in Jesus Christ in the new. In those first couple verses that were shared, he says, I have had God's help to this very day, and so I stand here and testify to small and great. I'm saying nothing beyond what the prophets and Moses said would happen, that the Christ would suffer and as the first to rise from the dead. That's prophesied in the Old Testament, not just shared with us in the New. Paul shared that with them. So Moses and the prophets had said it was true. The Messiah would suffer, he would raise from the dead, and it would be proclaimed to all who would listen. And Paul shares right here in this text, to the Jews first and also to the Gentiles as well. For that, he's on trial. For that, he was put in jail. For that, he could, as Julie referred to, be put to death, which eventually he was. Let's look at Festus' take on the matter. His first take on the matter after Paul shares with him is what? You're insane. There are probably some in the world today that think we're insane. Mm-hmm. How could a God love us so much that we send his son to die for all of our wrongdoing and take upon himself the penalty that should be ours and then rise from the dead and ascend back into heaven and want us to be with him forever and ever? That's a cool story, but some call us insane. Call me as insane as you want to. I'd rather be insane knowing this than anything else. Festus thinks he is insane. You know, there's some other texts of Scripture that say that a lot of people will call us insane. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 18 says, it is foolishness that is the gospel to those who are perishing. 1 Corinthians 1, 23 says, Christ crucified is a stumbling block to the Jews. It's foolishness to the Gentiles. Romans 5:10 says, we are reconciled to him while enemies. While enemies, we were reconciled to him through death, saved through resurrection. Interesting and insane to those who don't understand the story in its simplicity. Festus, after hearing all this, still at the end of the text says, this man doesn't deserve death. He's just insane. What about King Agrippa? Here's the almost. Here's the almost I'm talking about at the beginning. Almost. Can I use a little phrase here this morning? I was hoping that the king would get Agrippa on it. You get it? Get Agrippa. Oh. I was hoping for a little bit more of a hilarious laughter to that one. I want to share with you the text about King Agrippa again here, just so you understand. King Agrippa, do you believe that this is verse 27? King Agrippa, do you believe the prophets? I know you do. And King Agrippa said to Paul, do you think that in such a short time you can persuade me to be a Christian? Paul says, short time or not, I pray God that not only you, but all who are listening to me today may come become what I am, except for these chains. And that's when they took off and left. He was close. Just by that very statement he makes, I believe he's indicating that he was curious. But almost isn't good enough, is it? He said in that short time that Paul couldn't convince him. Life was fine as it was right now because he's King Agrippa. Affluence, self-reliance, he's King Agrippa. He realizes if what Paul is sharing is true and he accepts it, it would require an allegiance to another, not to himself or Caesar or anyone else. He knew that if what Paul was saying was true, it would require allegiance to another, and that other would be Jesus Christ. In essence, if he said yes, not almost, but if he said yes, it changes everything. And you know, in a sense, that's exactly what it does in our life if we say yes. It changes everything. Almost, you see, in this text doesn't cut it. I hope when I get to heaven someday, not because of my own performance, but because of what Jesus did for me, I hope one day when I get to heaven, I'll see King Agrippa and he says, you know, I finally got it. Wasn't convinced when Paul first talked to me, but I finally got it. Not almost, but I finally got it. I don't know. We don't know. But someday we may know. But almost doesn't cut it. There are some who have been in the vicinity of the church their whole life, or in the vicinity of the Bible for their whole life, or in the vicinity of Christians for their whole life, or in the vicinity of something like that their whole life, and yet they're just almost. There are some that are even familiar with the Bible. They know what it says, but it's just almost. Because just knowing what it says isn't what changes a person's life. Growing up in the church is only almost. I don't care if you've been in the church from birth to 80. That might be almost, but that's not what saves me or you. There are those that think if I just put in my time, if I can just serve in some kind of way, whatever it is, serving in the church, serving in the community, just doing good things to people. I'm sorry to say that's still just almost, because what did I tell you before? It's not based on our performance. It was based on his. You can try and try and try and try to be good, be good, be good, be good. Outside of his grace, you're not good enough, and neither am I. That's the wonder of the gospel, is that he paid for it. I don't have to. And because he paid for it, I am grateful. And because I am grateful, I want to live for him. The only reason why I want to do good deeds is because I'm grateful. Not to get brownie points in heaven. Even to say I believe Jesus did what he did because I heard the story. So, it still needs to make its way into my heart. It needs to make that distance from the head to the heart. And that's a long 12 inches or whatever it might be. Redemption comes to those who know they need redeemed. Salvation comes to those who know they need saved. And it's not hard, it's easy. He didn't make it hard. He didn't give us 15 hoops you got to go through before you come in. He didn't say, get your ducks in a row before you come. He says, come just as you are. With all the crap, with all the stuff, come just as you are. And then when you come to me and give your life to me, because I gave my life for you, at that point on, I'm going to change your life and transform your life into the life that I desire for you. Don't just believe that he did something. Believe that what he did for you. We are lost without him. When we sing these songs, and sometimes I get choked up because I'm singing these songs, hearing these words, knowing that all that stuff he did for me, and I'm not worthy without him. But he has considered me and you worthy. There's none of us here that fall outside of that. He doesn't do a curve thing and say, well, there's about 50% of you that can make it. The other 50, sorry, the curve. You know what the curve is. No. He says every single one of us here are eligible. Everyone. But you got to say yes. You got to take the gift. You can't just say, oh, thank you, that I'm eligible. Receive the gift. Repent of our sin. Confess to him and ask him to come into our life and into our heart and change us so that we can be more like him, because if we understand what he did for us, it means we are grateful. Folks, almost is not enough, and I hope and pray that in all the years that I've been in ministry as a pastor, that I don't just have a bunch of almost people in the congregation. I want you all to know, he is available for you now. You don't have to change before you come to him. He's the change agent. You come to him and then he changes you. So if you're almost this morning, change that almost to absolutely. Don't be Agrippa. You think you can convince me, and I can't convince you. The only one that can convince you is the Holy Spirit of God that can convince you. I can stand up here till I'm blue in the face. I can hold my breath and say, you come to him, or I'm going to keep holding my breath. I'm not going to do that because then I'm going to be dead. Now's the time, if you haven't already. It is worth it. Wow. The benefits are eternal. And the benefits are now. To live in the light of knowing that he is walking with us and talking with us and lifting us up when we need lifting up. That he loves us when other people don't love us. Oh, it's an awesome relationship. He's doing all the loving and we're sitting here sometimes not doing much of anything, but he keeps loving. Isn't that cool? It is. It is. Thank you, God. Let's pray. God, we are grateful for your word. We're grateful for Paul, who stood firm and told the story over and over and over again and told those who didn't even want to listen that you are the answer through Jesus Christ. For Agrippa, who said almost, Lord, I pray for those this morning that might be saying almost. Maybe they feel a Holy Spirit tug and they're like, I'm not sure if I want to do this. God, I pray that you would lead anyone here who doesn't know you to know you today, right now. They would say yes. Say yes to Jesus Christ. And that in saying yes to Jesus Christ, they would tell their neighbor, I'd like to hear it, Lord, that they have given their life to Jesus Christ. There will be angels in heaven singing a glorious song. So any heart here this morning that doesn't yet know and wants to right now, I pray that they give their life to you. Right now. Thank you, Jesus. You're the answer. We worship you and we praise you as we continue in song this morning and in amen right now. Lord, we thank you and we praise you. In Jesus' name, amen.